Now I understand why people are having such a hard time understanding free energy. There's several mental blocks that they cannot get past. And one right off the top of my head right now is this idea that energy in has to equal energy out. Well, it doesn't work that way. Let's put it this way. That's not the way to express it. So it's not even correctly expressed, let alone resolved, because it can't be resolved because it's not correctly expressed. So the way to describe it is voltage in times voltage out divided by impedance within a context of time is what you end up with, power. The result is power. So it's not that energy in equals energy out, it's that voltage in times voltage out divided by impedance or resistance, if you prefer, equals power. See, they're trying to conserve power, not energy. Well, energy is pretty vague because we've got force, and that's not power or energy, but it's an ingredient of power. So I guess when people say energy, they mean power. Ohm's law, the end result of Ohm's law. But nobody ever says that. So where did they get this energy in equals energy out business? It's in none of the electrodynamic laws, mathematical expressions. It's a made-up physics statement. It has nothing to do with electrodynamics. Wow, that's heavy. So, if we just stick to electrodynamics, it's voltage in times voltage out divided by impedance equals the total power. And there's nothing there that has to do with energy in versus energy out, because as Eric Dollard has said, what goes in does not come out. So it can't possibly be the same anyway, because what comes out is reactive added to what is not reactive, which is the applied. You know, when you do a voltage drop, that's still applied. It's just been translated. And that's why everybody talks about thermodynamics, the translation. But it only works on real voltage. It doesn't work on reactive voltage. You can't, because it gets more complicated. So this thing of energy in equals energy out is the wrong statement, firstly. Secondly, its structure is not applicable to reactants. Of course, it can't, because it's more complicated than mere voltage drop alone. And voltage drop satisfies thermodynamics. I get it. Okay. So yeah, when you have reactive voltage coming out of as the response to applied voltage due to various impedances, you know, reactive impedances getting in the way and complicating things, then yeah, things... this is why... Okay, so that's one reason why they can't accept free energy, okay? There's another way to look at their problem. They think current is not a fiction. They think the movement of electrons is real. Yet the only thing that moves is information. And I keep saying this, but I don't say it enough, apparently. So I'll say it again. The only thing that travels down the wire is information. Because even the valence electrons stay with the atom that they are associated with. They don't leave the atom. They don't bump off of one atom and go to the next. It just doesn't happen that way. The atom is totally in control of the energy states of its valence electrons and does not need somebody else's, except for the fact that they are shared when you create molten copper to make copper metal. So they haven't really moved. They're just shared as a collective entity. So all the valence electrons of a piece of copper wire, all the valence electrons of copper atoms that are welded together or melted together as a solid piece of copper wire, they're all shared collectively. So they don't have to move, because the one at one end is already in communication with the one at the other end and everywhere and all the other valence electrons in between. So it's not a question of anything moving at the speed of light. It's information, yeah, but it's the response. You know, when you play the game of telephone, it takes time for information to travel because each atom has to respond to the atom adjacent to it. It takes time, and that's the speed of light, is a delay factor. But nothing travels except something fictional, abstract, purely informational, which has no physical existence except the change that happens within the valence electrons. So the, and that's another thing that people have, that's the third thing that physicists and electrical engineers have a hard time appreciating. An atom is a creature, just like you and me. It has consciousness and it responds to its environment. And it is held responsible for its responses. Now, it personally is not held responsible. Mother Nature takes care of that responsibility. But in the sense that she keeps all the bookkeeping. So every single atom, she knows it's an individual, unique creature with a name that distinguishes it from all other copper atoms. And she has to keep track of all their karmas, or else they'd all get mixed up if they didn't have a name to uniquely identify each atom. So they're creatures, and they do respond with consciousness, and they refer to her for all responses. What do I do? And she gives them an image, a picture of what to do, and they do it. And if they have a brain that can see an image, fine, like an animal. But if they don't have a brain to see an image, it's just information. We'll leave it at that. It's an abstract sensitivity to whatever is being sent back to them, relayed back to them by Mother Nature. Because, you know, all creatures, all atoms, all objects are corpuscles within the body of Mother Nature. She's really got the whole body. You know, this is underneath the Almighty, you know, because the, well, not underneath. The Almighty is simply transcendental to everything in the physical world. But when, insofar as the physical world is concerned, and all the subtle planes, astral and whatnot as well, they're all corpuscles within the body of Mother Divine. And that's why she can keep track of everybody's karma, and she knows every single one by name. I know you, Copper Atom. I know you, Silver Atom. I know you, Vinyasi. I know all of you by name. The only difference with us human is we start to take on characteristics like herself, in that it's like a shared responsibility between her and us, insofar as what our actions are. Anyway, so Copper Atoms are conscientious beings. They respond to changes in their environment. No electron, valence electron, moves from one atom to the next. It's simply a response time that is a delay factor that is the speed of light. It's the speed of delay is what it amounts to. And no electron has to travel, and no photon travels, because, you know, energy transference through space is a whole different ball of wax, because, again, it's not energy. It's voltage applied and voltage reactive based on the impedances involved, the capacitant and the inductive impedances and the resistive impedances. All of that complexity goes into the second voltage. So when electrical engineers are taught voltage squared divided by resistance equals ohm, equals power, that's hooey. It's not voltage squared. It's one voltage times another voltage, and they're both unique voltages. A voltage applied, which is real, versus voltage that is reactionary, which is not real, but imaginary. And the two together creates a complex entity. So all energy, all energetic parameters or evaluations, enumerations, are complex numbers. There is never a situation that it's not complex. It's just, you know, how much proportionality is there? Well, in a flashlight circuit, not a whole lot is reactive, but there is. It's there. It's just so marginal, it doesn't take over and make things extremely noticeably complicated. It's complicated, but it's not noticeably complicated, so we ignore it. But just because we ignore it doesn't mean it goes away. It's still there. So everything is complex. Everything is complicated. It has a real portion, and that's the one that thermodynamics deals with. Energy in, energy out, because it's just one voltage. So of course it's going to be energy in, energy out. But because current is a fiction, a shorthand mathematical notation for something that's more complicated, namely reactionary voltage divided by impedance, various impedances within a context of time, nobody wants to say that, or nobody wants to be honest and admit it, or both. And thus is born the strife between us, because so many of you can't accept free energy, because you can't accept the complexity. We're not even dealing on the same plane, because you want to simplify everything, but it's not that simple. But you want to make it complicated, but you want to make it complicated in the wrong way, or in a way that's not relevant. In a way that's not relevant. In other words, there's a complication left out. So it is overly simplified. There's a complication left out. And it's not so much for lack of facts. I don't think electrical engineers are impoverished for lack of facts. I think the problem is lack of connecting the dots, the consequences of those electrical engineering facts, which electrical engineering students are taught. And they're so busy taking notes. It's like a Doonesbury cartoon in the LA Times many years ago. Everybody's scribbling down what the teacher is saying, and the teacher realizes nobody's thinking about what they're writing down. And so he starts to say the most outlandish things gradually, by degree, getting more outlandish with each statement, until finally it's so outlandish, a guy in the back row screams out, "Is this going to be on the test on the end of the week?" And the guy just gives up. The teacher just gives up. Because it's obvious to him, nobody's listening. They're just writing. They're like a bunch of monkeys. They don't think about what they're hearing. I would never take notes. I'd sit back and listen and cogitate and integrate and come to conclusions. And that is what I wrote down in my notes, my conclusions. I never wrote down what the teacher said. So when it came time to do the test, I barely passed because I wasn't interested in what the teacher had to say. I was interested in what I got out of it. That's why I was such a poor student in school. Oh, well. So much for being an A student. Ah, not me. No, I could care less what the teacher had to say. I simply used it as a point of departure to inspire me. And that's the way I operate. I'm looking for inspiration. And I guess that's another point that's difficult for electrical engineers. They're not looking for inspiration. They're not looking to come up with new ideas. And that's why they look at me and they go, "Vinny, what the hell are you talking about? That's not what we were taught in school. And you need to go back to school and take the classes you never took." Why? I never got past Ohm's Law twice. Not even pretty girls could keep me in school, keep me in the class. Nope. Who wanted to be my lab partners? Uh-uh. Nope. All because of Ohm's Law. I knew there was something wrong. So if current is a fiction, then we really don't appreciate how complicated is voltage. It's always complex. It's never real alone. It's never imaginary alone. It's always got a mixture of both the real and the imaginary component. And the real component is the applied, that you do the voltage drop, but the reactionary voltage, you can't do voltage drop. You have to do capacitive reactant formulations, and you have to do inductive reactant formulations, and then, oh my God, it just gets complicated. And it's very complicated because it's the reactionary forces are modifiable, potentially speaking, within the context of every single oscillation cycle, within every single cycle of oscillation. Because the field that the components, the capacitive components and the inductive factors, the fields they generate change from one cycle of oscillation to the next because they become the input for the next cycle. So every cycle is an iteration of new information, and it may change drastically, or it may change in a conventional fashion or in a non-conventional free energy fashion, in which energy can appear or disappear without thermodynamics getting involved, in which you cannot account for where it went to, because the energy, and that's the other thing, the fifth or sixth item that electrical engineers can't accept. Electricity is not a singularity. It's a composition of two ingredients, spatial ingredients within a context of time, so making three ingredients altogether. And if you can't get all that straight, that there are two reactionary forces that blend to create the dynamics of the valence electrons within an atom, because they create the atom to begin with, let alone its dynamics, then we really have the wrong definition of the atom. And that's probably where we have to begin. We have to, all those things were the consequences of wrongfully ascertaining what is an atom. It's a combination of two reactant forces of electrical reactants within a context of time. And because it creates that atom, which is always dynamic, it obliterates this domination that physics has, a stranglehold that it has on electrical engineering and probably a few other sciences as well. I can only speak for one. It's pretty obvious. You know, when I saw the policies written into the simulation behavior of various simulators that had nothing to do with electrical behavior formulation, you know, like Kirchhoff's laws, you know, and all those Ohm's law, all those laws, it had nothing to do with that. It just was policy, blatant policy. Since when is that scientific to write in the script of the software rules of thumb that are policies, and every simulator has a different set of policies? You know something's fishy when there is that kind of business going on. It has nothing to do with science. And yet it rules the life of electrical engineers who depend on simulators to give them a heads up on what to expect before they go to the bench and build anything. So I'm still caught up with the theory that is not honest. It's blatantly dishonest because rules change that have nothing to do with science, and not all the rules are there. All energy has to be assessed in a complex nature if you want the whole picture. You cannot do mere voltage drop and get away with it. It doesn't work that way. But hey, don't listen to me. I didn't go to school.